4. Inside the Secret Room. On the last day of his life, Matthew Weil left his apartment on Lafayette Place, stepped onto the sidewalk, pulled his bowler hat down tighter on his head, and walked southeast. In his 48 years, he'd seen wars in Afghanistan and skirmishes in India, had lost an eye to a Mexican saber, and been shipwrecked on a Caribbean island. This afternoon he felt as though he'd risk all those misadventures to escape the brazen, ice-cold wind that tore through the bustling streets of New York. It made his bones rattle, and dried out his glass eye. A few short hours earlier, he'd received a telegram from Mr. Socrates giving the location of a meeting room in the Astor Library, a favourite haunt of French espions. That made him chuckle. All this time spent secretly trying to unearth the various cells of international spies and agents that thrived in New York. And here was a cell right in the very library he visited twice a week to relax and read Shakespeare. His orders were to discover what they did in that room and telegraph his findings to Mr. Socrates. A faint cough a few feet behind him made Weil bristle, but when he turned, there was no one close to him. In his 20 years of being a spy, he often presumed, correctly, that he was being followed. Lately, however, it too often seemed to be his imagination, for he could never catch anyone at it, the way he used to. He knew of agents who'd been dragged off to the asylum, screaming about shadowy pursuers. Was this the first sign of his own madness? Even his sleep was no longer undisturbed. Last night he'd woken to the sound of a similar cough, right in his apartment. The sense that he was being observed had been overpowering, yet a search of the place revealed no intruder. Weil climbed the library steps. Inside, he caught a pleasant whiff of books that reminded him wistfully of his youth in Ottawa, Canada, before he joined the British Royal Navy. His mother had kept her own library and often read to him. For a moment, he was a child again. Then he guffawed. Here he was, a grown man, scarred by several battle wounds, with only one eye, thinking of his mother. He passed a gathering of dapper men with neatly trimmed beards, and one steely-eyed young woman in a black dress. The woman looked familiar, but he couldn't place her. As he climbed the stairs at the back of the library, it dawned on him. The young woman's upright, confident disposition reminded him of Colette Brunet, the French spy. She'd been just as confident, and extremely difficult to find. He'd tracked her to New York, but a few weeks ago he'd lost her. A slippery fox, that one. How could he lose a half-Japanese, half-French girl? The top floor of the library had the largest selection of books on philosophy in the city, but no one seemed to want to read them. He appeared to have the whole floor to himself. The morning light reflected off the windows of the building across the street, making him blink. His good eye had always been sensitive to bright light. He found the door to the meeting room behind a long stack of books. It was ajar. And, oddly, a fedora lay on the floor just inside. His hand hovered over the miniature pistol in his breast pocket. Moving closer to the doorway, he noticed that the hat was smeared with a red stain. He grasped his pistol tightly and peered into the room. A curtain was open just a few inches, leaving much of the room in shadow. He pushed the door, annoyed by the squeaking of its hinges. It hit something and stopped. He held his pistol at his chest and poked his head briefly around the door. On the floor of the room was the body of a huge man, his muscular neck at a sharp angle. A knife lay beside him. Judging by the papers strewn about the room and the overturned table and chair, the man had struggled before dying. Weil remained calm. He'd seen many such sights before. He breathed slowly, listening for signs of the killer. Nothing. Weil was able to open the door enough to squeeze past. A piece of paper floated through the air, which was odd. The windows were shut, so there was no breeze. Shelves on either side of the room held a few books. The table closest to the window was littered with papers, as was the floor. He listened carefully. Nothing. He reached down and felt the man's neck. Still warm. No pulse. A fleur-de-lis tattoo was on his right wrist. He'd been in the French Navy. Weil picked up the papers from the floor as he walked over to the table. They were French documents, which he read easily as he thumbed through them. The killer was likely another agent. Russians? Germans? From the Clockwork Guild? This guild was new to him, but the name had appeared in several of the messages from his masters. He knew very little about the guild, only that he should keep watch for any insignia that looked like clockwork. Typically vague orders from above. Among the documents was a map of the Atlantic Ocean, marked with red ink in the vicinity of Iceland. Scrawled across the top was the word Ictinio. He came across a page that read, VSVYWBT, KEUW, 603-5236. Code, obviously. He wouldn't have time to decipher it just now. He heard a cough from the corner near the window and spun around, pistol cocked. It was the barking cough he'd been hearing over the past few days. My imagination is becoming more vivid with age, he decided. He gathered the papers, stuffed them into his satchel, and left the room. On his way back to his apartment, he checked several times to see if anyone was following him. He went in the building and climbed the stairs, his left knee aching. He unlocked his door, hung his coat on the rack, and sat at the table to work at the line of code. It was likely the Visionnaire cipher, the preferred method of secret communication for the French. What they didn't know was that the British had cracked it years ago. After several minutes, he noticed he'd left the door open. You're getting old, he told himself, and got up to close it. He went back to the numbers and letters. Grand Poisson, 603-5236. Grand Poisson was Big Fish. But what were the numbers for? At once it came to him. He felt a pair of hands close tightly around his throat. A man's voice said, Ah, that is the information I've been trying to decode. There was a hint of an English accent. Wilde flung himself backward, but was thrown to the ground, his face shoved into the floor so hard he felt his nose snap. He didn't get so much as a glimpse of his assailant. He felt a knee jammed into his spine as fingers closed off his windpipe. What do the numbers mean? The voice hissed. Tell me! Wiley answered with a cough and a valiant attempt to suck in air. I don't want to die without seeing my attacker's face, he thought. He twisted around, but saw nothing. The last thing Wiley heard as the final bit of air puffed out of his lungs was eerie, childlike laughter.